I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Baby.
You know, Mitch.
He loved your Cougars.
Mitch Harper.
Welcome on in to the Cougar Tracks podcast, powered by KSLSports.com. I'm your BYU insider, Mitch Harper. Happy as always to have you on board of the podcast, wherever you may be listening or watching the show. The show is available on the KSL Sports YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter feeds. Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we go live at high noon here on all the KSL Sports social media feeds. You can follow me on social media at Mitch_Harper on Twitter, Instagram, all that sort of stuff. So make sure to give me a follow and you can stay up to speed on all the latest in the world of BYU athletics. So here's what we've got on deck for today's Monday edition of the podcast. So BYU basketball signed a big addition in Braden Moore, who now joins the BYU program for this upcoming season. I'll share my thoughts on that and what's next for BYU basketball. Also, members of the BYU football team were part of a one-of-a-kind camp, the D1 Dream Camp, down in St. George. That took place, and kind of a unique spin on name, image, and likeness in this era of NIL and reportedly millions of dollars getting thrown out at athletes. These BYU football players hosted a camp to give back to the youth. And then also, potential Big 12 scheduling news, as divisions are expected to be going by the wayside. What could potential pods look like on a Big 12 schedule that includes BYU football? So we'll get to all of that and a whole lot more. Also, you can share your commentary, your questions on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, wherever you're watching. You can share your questions throughout the show, and I'll get to those at the end of the program. But we start things off with BYU basketball, and Braden Moore signs with the Cougars from the Donda Academy. Yeezy taught you well. Yeezy taught Braden well. He signed with BYU on Friday, and what an addition for Mark Pope's program to get a three-star prospect that had a laundry list of quality programs recruiting him. That is a nice get. And again, I've said it all along throughout this process, the doom and gloom of folks being up in arms about BYU basketball. What's going on with BYU hoops? There's not much to worry about. Mark Pope's got a plan. I would be more concerned if you're a BYU fan if they ran it back from last season. If Mark Pope said, you know what, we're going to run this thing back. The 24-11 team that didn't beat any quad one, quad two teams in the final 2 months of the season, I would be more concerned if they just brought everyone back and ran it back. It needs a facelift, and you get Rudy Williams, you get Braden Moore. This BYU team is starting to take shape. They still have two scholarships available, and you got to continue to add more size, potentially. Easier said than done, because size is always coveted out of the transfer portal. If you can get Mo Njai from Eastern Michigan, who I contacted, he enjoyed his visit up to Park City, all the camaraderie, the connections that were built, and the relationships formed with BYU staff, but he's got a bunch of options. But Braden Moore is a nice get. I mean, you're talking about a guy that had offers from Rutgers, Nebraska, Wisconsin, Arizona State, Arkansas, Auburn, Cincinnati, Georgetown, Kansas. In the who's who in college basketball, a bunch of great basketball programs, and Mark Pope and his staff get it done. And, you know, Mark Pope and his staff, they always kind of have an ace up their sleeve, potentially. If one thing goes sideways, they have always got another avenue to explore. And I just think that it's a quality addition getting Braden Moore. And I love the fact that he's from the Donda Academy, from Kanye West's school. I mean, can you imagine telling some of maybe the old school Cougar Club members trying to explain the Donda Academy? Hey, Yeezy taught you well. I'll tell you what, if Kanye West comes to a BYU basketball game with Braden Moore, that's all I'm going to cover. I'm not even going to worry about the game. I'm just going to zero in on everything Yeezy. I hope he shows up in a mask similar to what he wore at the Super Bowl. What was that? That just thing had just a mask with just poked in holes in the mask. Hey, Kanye West, as a big Kanye fan, that would be outstanding. Seeing a guy like Kanye at the Marriott Center? Come on now. That alone makes Braden Moore one of my favorite signings. Because there's the possibility that Yeezy, Kanye West could be in the building. But Braden Moore's got some game, and he's a quality addition to this BYU team that, again, it's taking shape, the roster, two scholarships available, and it's a nice addition for BYU. Other news with BYU basketball, again, they got two scholarships available now on the roster for next season. I think you got to go into the front court potentially. Got to get some guys with 6'10 and up to coach up and develop in that front court. You can't rely solely on Fusini Traore and Atiki Aliatiki to carry everything in that front court this year. But the team is, I think the roster is coming together nicely. You know, because I like what Braden Moore does from the shooting standpoint. I think that adds a ton of value to this BYU basketball program next year. And look, you got to always be on the line of thought that every player you get at this point might just be a one-year guy. That's just the era of the transfer portal. That's the era of scholarships in general. There are only one-year agreements. So every year it's just, you know, continue to develop, continue to get the best possible talent you can on a roster. And I think Braden Moore is a step in that right direction for BYU basketball. Switching over to BYU football, some members of the Cougar football program had a cool event over the weekend in the D1 Dream Camp. Yeah, the D1 Dream Camp down in St. George, Desert Hills High School. I thought this was really cool. You know, because we talk so much in this sports media about NIL. Oh, no, this guy's going to get $2 million. This guy's going to get $3 million. I think as we're realizing with the Jordan Addison stuff from Pitt, maybe that was a little bit overblown, that he was just suddenly getting millions of dollars, because if he really had a $3 million payday waiting for him at USC, wouldn't this just be done already, right? You know, there's some guys that are getting half a mil. There's some guys getting a quarter mil, and you go, how are they pulling off that type of money? But still, I think that when it's all said and done with NIL, more times than not, it's going to be about guys and gals taking care of their name, image, and likeness, and maximizing their opportunities to make money off that NIL. And over the weekend, members of the BYU football team utilized their name, image, and likeness to give back to young athletes. And this was pretty cool. It was the D1 Dream Camp. It's kind of one of the first of its kind where current BYU or current D1 college football athletes were running a summer camp with anywhere from third grade to 12th grade athletes, coaching them up on football. Pretty cool, honestly. D1 Dream Camp. And one of the leaders of this event was BYU linebacker Jackson Kafusi. And I caught up with Jackson about this event, how it came to be, and what were some of the goals behind it. He had 183 kids sign up for this event, so it was a great turnout, the first of its kind. It was powered with the All Poly Sports. This was my conversation with BYU linebacker Jackson Kafusi and creator of the D1 Dream Camp.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jackson, how did it feel to see this camp, which it seems like you dreamed of kind of creating, and seeing it come out and be the D1 Dream Camp?
Yeah, honestly, it was like when everything started coming together this morning, and when I got to the field, everybody was already setting stuff up. I was like, wow, like this is something special. And I think it's really special that, you know, all of our coaches who are current D1 players have this opportunity as well. I think that's really huge for us as well as this community. And so it's a dream come true. Like I said, you know, I wish I had this when I was, you know, coming in high school and whatnot. So just this opportunity, this whole thing has been a blessing, a learning experience for sure, but it's been great. So,
do you have maybe goals of branching out and going more throughout the state and maybe the region and kind of making this a thing to help young people around the region?
Yeah, absolutely. Like I already am thinking about coming back next year to St. George, Southern Utah. And I would love to do one up in Provo area, and even northern Utah. You know, I've had parents reach out to me about that. So we're, I got some aspirations for that, and hopefully see them through.
There's so much talk about NIL and guardrails, things like that, but is this kind of what the reality of NIL, where a lot of guys in college football, they just want to give back to their communities? Is that kind of the sense you get?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you hear of the big things in media about NIL, like the Alabama players getting, you know, six-figure, seven-figure deals, whatever it is. For me, at least, you know, I think I want to use this to help the community, help the players. You know, we had the Built deal that helped our walk-ons. Similar idea, just helping everybody on the team and as well as the community. So, yeah.
How's things going for you with your BYU career, and maybe just some of the outlook you have for BYU in 2022 and beyond?
Yeah, I mean, it's been awesome. You know, I love my time at BYU. I'm excited to, you know, look towards the future, whatever that may be. Absolutely enjoyed it. So I'm just going to, you know, give it my all and, you know, just have fun with it. So that's my main goal this next year, and have fun with my friends. You know, hopefully we win some games and go to a nice bowl game and finish strong. So,
do you ever have aspirations maybe of being in football, coaching, and maybe working with young kids in the future?
Absolutely. I would love to build this, like, dynasty powerhouse high school in here in Utah, sort of like Bingham was when I was, you know, in high school. But absolutely, I love the coaching aspect. I love working with young kids. I love training kids. I think, you know, I wish I had the knowledge that I have now. And if I can, you know, give that to a kid, I think that's valuable and priceless. So
there you go. That's BYU linebacker Jackson Kafusi. Again, he ran a great event. There was about a dozen or so BYU football players that coached up young athletes. Over 183 kids signed up for the event. And what was cool, too, at the end of the camp, they featured some players by position that were
named MVPs from the camp, and Jax Kafusi and the staffers, BYU players, are going to forward those kids' names to BYU's recruiting staff to maybe put them on the recruiting board to see, take a look at one of the at these guys in the future. One of the athletes I will say in the future to keep tabs on that I was very impressed with, he's a freshman. And typically when you're talking about the camp circuit, the younger, probably the better, 7th, 8th, 9th grade, to kind of show those flashes, because then college coaches feels like they can get the upper hand with early inroads and relationships. But Cyrus Polu, a freshman from Desert Hills, he was a standout wide receiver, 6'1", 210 pounds, class of 2025. He was named the wide receiver MVP. So Cyrus Polu, a name to keep an eye on down the road. But again, a really cool event. Jax Kafusi did a fantastic job, and all the BYU football players as well. A little bit of breaking news coming down here on the show. The Tennessee game in 2023 is gone. Tennessee will be playing Virginia instead of BYU to open the 2023 season. Bit of an unfortunate deal there for BYU. Tennessee going to open up the 2023 season against the Virginia Cavaliers. The game will be taking place. It'll be a home game for Tennessee. And according to VolQuest.com, Tennessee will be giving some of the ticket sales to BYU in order for Tennessee to meet contractual obligations and, quote, buy its way out of the game. So this, to me, is not a situation where it was BYU's doing, especially on the heels of moving away from the Utah State game. Not having Tennessee on the schedule in 2023 leaves BYU with Southern Utah and Arkansas on the road. They will now need another 2023 non-conference game. Interesting development for BYU and Tennessee. That game is now off. So that series became a one and done. In 2019, BYU goes to Knoxville, wins in overtime. Now that game is off in 2023. That's a bummer. I mean, because that is the type of game that you usher in the Big 12 era. It would have been a primetime ESPN game, I bet, depending on the TV deal with the Big 12. Fox could have been in play, maybe a big noon kickoff. There could have been some interesting options there for that game. And now that's gone. Tennessee going to play Virginia in Nashville instead of BYU in Provo. So now BYU will have to reshuffle some games. Maybe you move around some of the future games, future inventory up to 2023. Maybe you get a money buy game with a low-end Group of Five team. It's interesting, coming into the show, I was going to talk about Big 12 scheduling and the potential pod system and how that could look, because the NCAA is likely going to vote down the NCAA football committee, likely going to vote down the need for divisions to hold a championship game, which opens the door for all these power conferences and pretty much every conference to not need divisions in order to host their championships. 2023 schedules seem to be intact with Tennessee as the opener, because that was just, again, a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Tennessee's football brand over the last 25 years is nothing spectacular. Since they won that national title in 1998, there's nothing to write home about Tennessee football over the last quarter century, but their history is top-notch. It's one of the winningest programs in college football history, and the opportunity potentially to host them in Provo, it's just too good to pass up. And now that game is going in favor of Tennessee to play Virginia in 2023 on September 2nd. And again, according to Tennessee's Rivals website, they're reporting that Tennessee's buying out of the game, and they're going to give BYU some of the ticket sales to cover the buyout to BYU. Interesting development there for BYU football. So they're going to need one more non-conference game for the 2023 season in that first year of the Big 12 conference. And speaking of that Big 12 conference, that first year in 2023, Texas and Oklahoma are still expected to be there. Texas Athletic Director Chris Del Conte, the former TCU AD, was asked recently about the possibility of moving early to the SEC conference, and he kind of scoffed at that notion and really didn't say anything that would indicate there's going to be a move soon. That could be a legal move to just avoid any sort of potential lawsuit from saying, yeah, we're trying to get out of it early. Because what's different here with the Big 12 compared to the AAC teams is that you're dealing with the entire grant of rights will have to be paid out if they leave early. It's not a negotiating type of thing like the AAC had in their bylaws for teams to get out early. This is you lose your grant of rights money, and maybe ESPN steps in and sweetens the deal. Who knows? But I also think, too, Texas and Oklahoma want to ramp up their efforts from recruiting, from some different areas in their rosters, in their programs, to build up towards being in a spot where they're competitive in the SEC, because I don't think right now neither one of those teams would step into the SEC next year and be in the top four or five of that conference. Even Oklahoma, I don't think so. With a coaching change, I think the jury's still out on Brent Venables. So there's going to be a 14-team Big 12 in 2023 and 2024. And, you know, Tim Fitzgerald from GoPowerCat.com, 24/7 Sports, he had a unique pod system scheduling that really caught my attention. I thought was pretty cool. He had four groups. He had Group A, Group B, Group C, Group D. BYU fell into Group C, which is basically the Big 12 newcomers, Cincinnati, Houston, UCF, and BYU. He had Group D, just Oklahoma and Texas. 14-team leagues are always the trickiest to schedule. It's just a difficult proposition in a 12-game season, 9 conference games, 3 non-conference. It's a difficult thing. Group A would be Iowa State, Kansas State, Oklahoma State. Group B, Baylor, TCU, Texas Tech, West Virginia. One of the interesting things he has in his proposal for this pod system in the 2 years with Texas and Oklahoma is that Oklahoma and Texas would play the newbies, each of them twice in the last two years of their league in their existence in the Big 12, and the newcomers' first 2 years in the conference. And I think the value behind that is to then you go to the TV partners and say, hey, look, BYU took down an Oklahoma if they did it. UCF took down Texas multiple times if they did it. Just gives them the opportunity to elevate their profiles to a big national stage. And I think it's interesting. This is the conference schedule that Fitzgerald, again, Tim Fitzgerald from 24/7 Sports, he proposed what BYU's 2023 conference schedule would look like. Cincinnati at home, Texas at home, Texas Tech, West Virginia, all in Provo. On the road at UCF, at Houston, at Oklahoma, at K-State, at Iowa State. So you would play all the teams in your group, which would be in BYU's case, Cincinnati, Houston, and UCF. You'd play both of the teams that are soon to leave for the SEC, Oklahoma and Texas. And then you would play the traditional Big 12 members, the carryover programs, at least once in the first 2 years. So you'd have Texas Tech at home. Then in 2024, you would have Oklahoma State at home, West Virginia at home, then Kansas at home the following year. At K-State, then at Baylor the following year. At Iowa State, then at TCU. I think that's a pretty good proposal. Is any Cougar fan going to scoff at the chance of having Texas and Oklahoma in Provo in back-to-back years? Look, it's a bummer to lose Tennessee, but if the schedule played out like that, I don't think many Cougar fans would be too bent out of shape over it. They wouldn't. I wouldn't expect that. So, but again, in case you missed it, if you're hopping on late, Tennessee and BYU, not going to happen in 2023. The Vols have canceled that game against BYU. They are going to play Virginia in 2023. I'll have more reaction to this news on KSLSports.com, but it's a bummer because I think that's a game that everyone was just like, you circle that game. You keep that at all cost. And remember, Utah's going to also have Florida in 2023 as well. So you can't just say, hey, Utah, let's play the game. It's kind of short notice, too, to suddenly reconfigure the 2023 schedule. Short notice. I mean, BYU put together a game in 48 hours. But still, it's kind of short notice. Bummer to lose that game. It would have been great to see Big Orange in Provo. That sea of orange, that Tennessee fan base is top shelf. But Tennessee reportedly going to be moving on to the game. Or they're not reportedly, they are. Their school announced it, 2023. They are going to be opening up against the Virginia Cavaliers. My first thought, too, on that, too, is it's like Dave Brown from Gridiron. Did he help maybe configure that? Because Virginia had a game against BYU in 2023. There were some openings, and then that comes together. Very interesting how it all works. Scheduling is fascinating. And BYU, the impact they have on future non-conference schedules throughout college football is pretty significant. I mean, all the games against Pac-12 teams. Like, think about that, too. BYU lost out on the USC game. That got canceled. USC is now going to play in week zero against San Jose State in 2023 in LA. So BYU, I think, wants to probably get another home game in Provo because if you can, at least get seven home games, if you can make it happen. There's got to be a group of five team that you can pay in a money game to come out to Provo for a one-off. It could happen. There's going to be openings. I'll have to look at the 2023 schedule, see what's out there, see what's available, what teams need what. But there's going to likely be some openings, I would imagine. So that's going to do it for this edition of the Cougar Tracks podcast. Kind of fun to break some news here on this edition of the show. That's what makes these live streams so much fun. Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at high noon, you can get the latest in the world of BYU sports on the Cougar Tracks podcast. So I'll talk to you on Wednesday here on Cougar Tracks, and it's always powered by KSLSports.com.
Years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.